Thank you, Steve. Yes, Bill, you're going to need some headphones today.
I'll probably need headphones today, Wendy. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. We're 312-981-7200. Rarely do we start the show by having a guest in studio right away, but his schedule is such that if we wanted to talk to Daniel Biss, who's running for governor, we had to open the show with him, so why not? Daniel, how are you? Nice to see you.
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Very, very good.
Thank you for coming on. I have to be honest with you. You are not from my district. I don't know much about you, and I think there are some other people like that, and we'd like to find out a little bit more about you. So thank you for coming up, first and foremost.
Glad to be here.
I have an 18-year-old son who just registered to vote in the primary.
Congratulations.
And he's kind of excited about
That's awesome.
And I said, you know, the weird thing about the primary is you have to pick a side, basically. You have to say Democrat or Republican. Why? Do you have any idea? Because I really...
Yeah, I mean, here's the theory, and you can like it or not, and I've got mixed feelings, to be honest, but here's the theory. The theory is the Democratic Party should decide internally who is the best representative of their values and approach, and the Republican Party internally decides the same thing. Like, in a lot of countries, they don't even have primary elections at all, just the party bosses decide.
And then they put someone up, and then
now,
the public votes.
In Illinois, when the party bosses get to decide, everything goes to hell. And so that's not the best way forward. And, you know, I think having open primaries would make more sense. But the idea is, you know, let's allow the Democrats to pick amongst themselves who the best Democrat is. Let the Republicans pick amongst themselves who the best Republican is. And then they can all fight it out for the rest of the summer and fall.
That makes sense when you explain it that way.
Wendy and I have discussed this many times, Daniel, in the past. Why would anyone want to be president? Why would anyone want to be governor? Why would anyone want to be a senator? Why do you want to be governor?
Well, I'm running for governor because I think this is a totally unique time. I think that between Trump and Rauner, between the pain that people are experiencing across the country and across the state, and between the fact that we get to, just as what we were just discussing, Wendy, decide what the future of the Democratic Party is, what is the soul of the Democratic Party, we've got a real generational chance to fix Illinois. I mean, let's be honest. This state has been in real trouble, not just for 3 years with Bruce Rauner, but for decades before that. And I think this is a really unique moment in our politics to do some good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm running. I don't have any illusions. It's a hard job running. You get beat up a lot. It's a
thankless,
complicated
job.
Weird thing to do, but I think it's a chance to make a real difference, and I think this is a unique time of all times to make a profound difference for Illinois, and I just didn't want to walk away from that.
Yeah, good.
And what's so unique about this, unfortunately, with the tragedies, with the shootings in Parkland, Florida, these kids want to make a difference now. So kids are becoming so politically active. I mean, I'm telling you, when I first voted, I didn't know. I didn't care. Yeah. Who's better looking? It's seriously, it's completely different now.
Yeah, well, thank God for me. They're no longer voting on who's better looking. Hello, radio. But you know, I totally agree with you, Wendy. And, you know, to be honest, the younger generation gets kind of a bad rap for
totally.
Not being engaged, for being self-absorbed, for not being
They're more engaged than we ever were.
I totally agree with you. And they're not always engaged. And actually, I don't mean to keep going back to your first question, but it was such a perfect intro, Wendy. They're not necessarily engaged in partisan politics. They're not always sure when they look at the options that there's somebody who's matches their values. And so sometimes they engage in issue advocacy or organizing or protesting because the political system isn't really up to the standards of someone who wants to use it as a tool to make lives better. But I think this younger generation is very invested in making the world better. And I think we, as people in politics, have a responsibility to give them something worth voting for, not just someone to vote against.
In the past week, Daniel, a lot of people have drawn a line from politicians to the money that they take from the NRA. What are your thoughts on that? What should be the rule, or should there be a rule about campaign contributions coming from the NRA?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I've got, you know, I don't brag about F grades too often, but I got a lifetime F from the NRA.
Yeah.
And I've certainly never taken a dime from the NRA, and I never would.
Yeah.
Let me tell you two things. First of all, about the NRA, their money is powerful and dangerous, and I certainly feel really strongly about that. But more powerful than their money is the fact that there are people around the country who listen to the NRA, people who say, hey, Daniel got an F, so you should vote against him. And that person then votes against me without actually looking under the hood to figure out what I did that earned me that F. And here's why this is important. Some of the things that we are trying to do, like universal background checks, like licensing gun dealers so they aren't allowed to keep on selling guns to people who aren't supposed to have them, to make sure that people with mental illness and certain types of criminal records can't have guns, most gun owners support those changes too.
Right.
But the gun manufacturers who bankroll the NRA, mm-hmm. they oppose it because they just want to sell more guns to everybody. And so what we got to do is drive a wedge between the gun owners who right now are listening to the NRA and therefore voting against people who want to make reasonable common sense changes, and the gun manufacturers who bankroll them.
Yeah.
But to back up to the bigger question, our campaign finance system is really scary. And I think this primary we've got on March 20th is a referendum on that. J.B. Pritzker spent $56 million of his own money already on this primary. $56 million, that's more money than Donald Trump spent to get nominated president.
Yeah.
And so we've got to decide, do we want to have an election or do we want to have an auction? Do we want to have a Democratic nominee based on money or based on people? And I think that's a really important decision, not just for right now, but for the long-term trajectory of working people, of middle-class families like mine, and of the values of the Democratic Party.
Senator Bishop, Steve upstairs, speaking of that money, it's been targeted at you more than ever in the past 10 days or so, right? I see you smiling a little bit. Have made a move in the polls, and now people are sort of coming after you. Tell me about the shift in the campaign since it's shown that you're starting to do a little bit better.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that, you know, you mentioned in American politics, it's sometimes a thankless task. And the way you know you're doing well is when they start punching you in the face. Yeah. So J.B. Pritzker is now spending millions of dollars with kind of desperate attack ads against me. It's what happens when a billionaire is freaked out about a middle-class progressive, because he knows that if the people of Illinois are making an even choice between a billionaire and a middle-class progressive, he doesn't have a chance. So I take his panic as a good sign, and I take the surge that we've had in the polls as a good sign, and we've got 29 days left to close this out.
Well, and other than, what do you make of the controversy at the Reader and the ouster of the editor over the weekend about that cartoon of Pritzker on the cover?
Well, I certainly found that cartoon to also be pretty offensive.
Can you explain the cartoon really quickly?
Mark Kunkel got the job just, 10 days ago?
Yeah.
On the Reader, yeah. And Steve, would you like to tell us about the cover of that?
I mean, Senator, you can fill us in too, but it had to do with the recordings of Pritzker and Blagojevich and talking about the black vote and different black figures and things, and they had a lawn jockey on the cartoon. I guess there even was some talk, there's reporting that they might have put Pritzker in blackface, but Ed Eisendrath, who took over the Sun-Times, and then the Reader not too long ago finally parted ways with Kunkel after just a few weeks in the job.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, let's just back up a second, right? There were tapes released a couple weeks ago of Pritzker talking to Rod Blagojevich, these two powerful white men trying to figure out what the African-American community was going to be given by them instead of what the African-American community would demand for itself. And, you know, Pritzker said things like, well, you know, you should appoint Jesse White to the Senate. He's the least offensive African-American. And a lot of people in the African-American community, but others, myself included, were pretty offended by that. But the response is not to use more inflammatory language. I think the response is to actually talk about how to build an inclusive politics,
sure,
where you're not going to wind up with, you know, powerful white guys using African-Americans as pawns on a chessboard.
Yep. Daniel Biss is here. He wants to be your governor. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. We'll pick it up in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We are talking politics, something we don't do very frequently. Illinois Democratic candidate for governor Daniel Biss in the studio with us. I had said something to you off the air about you mentioned all the money that Mr. Pritzker has spent on his campaign. To me, I'm listening to that, and it's like, do you need all the bells and whistles? Isn't that kind of a waste of money?
Well, I can't speak to his strategy, but here's what money can buy you. It can buy you a lot of television commercials. It can buy you fancy, glossy mailers. It can hire an entire army of people who are paid to go door to door. It can't buy passion. It can't buy commitment. It can't buy people who actually believe in a cause. And it can't buy you a progressive record to stand on either. And so listen, if dollars or votes, we're going to lose. But if passion turns into votes, I feel pretty good about where this is going to go. And I think we've got to ask ourselves, and I say this as a Democrat, as Democrats, we've got to ask ourselves, listen, Bruce Rauner is an inexperienced billionaire who became a governor and failed. Donald Trump is an inexperienced billionaire who became president, and I sure think he's failing. So Democrats, we should decide, do we want to try that too? Are we going to say, if you can't beat him, join him? We need our own inexperienced billionaire. Or are we going to find a different way forward? Are we going to build a campaign based on what people need, how communities can band together and build a new politics? I don't think it's a hard choice, but we've got 29 days left to see what the people think.
And you do need to register to vote. I don't remember when the deadline is for the primary.
Well, you actually, now we've passed good laws. You can vote. You can register at the polling place on Election Day. But in the meantime, you might want to go to, for example, the Cook County Clerk website, or perhaps the Chicago Board of Elections website, and get all the full information about all the different ways of registering and voting and all the different deadlines. We try to make it as easy as possible for folks to vote, but there's still people who don't make it to the polls, so check out that information.
You mentioned Governor Rauner, and I know that we've been hearing Governor Rauner complain about Mike Madigan, and one of our callers has a question about just that. Christy, you have a question for Daniel Biss?
Yes, thank you, Wendy. I feel even the greatest of candidates with the right passion and the right oomph who wants to make Illinois better, even that person's hands are going to be tied by somebody like Mike Madigan. What is your plan? And I know it's a long answer and kind of a loaded question, but what's your plan to deal with him?
Well, it's a great question, Christy, and I'm going to try to give a concise answer, but it's real important. I mean, listen, Rauner went to Springfield and just fought and fought and fought with Madigan, and those two men bickered with each other and nothing happened and the rest of us got hurt, and that's not a good way forward. But then clear on the opposite end of the spectrum, you've got Pritzker, who's just Madigan's candidate. And they, you know, they put their arm around each other and they're marching forward together, shoulder to shoulder. And that's not going to change anything from what's gone wrong in Springfield for the last 35 years since Mike Madigan became speaker. My view is this. Mike Madigan's been there too long. He's too powerful. That power has held back the state of Illinois and, in my opinion, the Democratic Party. I've said that for a long time. Mm-hmm. One of the first things I did when I got to the House in 2011 was I put in a constitutional amendment that says you can't serve as speaker for more than 10 years because I think that longevity is a lot of the problem. And I've got my feet firmly planted in the opposite wing of the Democratic Party from the Madigan-Pritzker wing of the party. But I also, in Springfield, have worked with everyone, Democrats and Republicans, senators and representatives, people from my progressive wing of the party and people from the Madigan-Pritzker wing of the Democratic Party. And what I've done in doing that is I've been willing to do give and take, and I've also been able to come to the table with a strong political base of my own that's independent that can apply pressure. So I don't walk into Mike Madigan's office and say, hey, I'm Daniel, I'd like to do this. I say, I'm Daniel, and there's hundreds of thousands of people standing with me around the state of Illinois, and here's what we need. That's a governor who can actually get something done.
It's a great answer. Christy, you
Thanks,
pleased
Christy.
With that?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christy.
Daniel, one of the knocks on you has been your thoughts on pension reform. You're a former teacher, and yet even knowing that, you wouldn't mind seeing their pension pulled a bit, right? So how do you explain that? I'm surprised by it a little bit.
Well, so this has been the most important learning experience of my career. When I got to Springfield in 2011, we were in the depths of a recession and huge budget problems, huge pension debt. And my preferred solution at the time, just like it is now, was to have a progressive income tax, tax the wealthy fairly, and use that money to fund our pension systems and our priorities. But what we got told by the conventional wisdom was you can't do that until you've made changes to pensions or further cuts to social services. And I was too quick, I'll admit it. I was too quick to fall for that false choice and pick what I thought was the least bad of the bad options. And that bill was overturned by the Supreme Court, which was the right thing. Now, I was in the arena trying in my own way to tackle an important problem, and I didn't do it the right way. And now I'm still in the arena trying in the right way, the constitutional way, the fair way, the just way to address that same problem. And I'm being beaten up by J.B. Pritzker with all these television commercials.
Yeah.
What's frustrating about it is that back then, he was funding the effort to do away with pensions altogether. He was writing $10,000 checks all the time to the same group that was trying to get rid of pensions, that was attacking me from the right. And he hasn't admitted that. He hasn't acknowledged it. He's just being a hypocrite. He's just engaging in politics. And what I think we need is someone who's been in the arena, has had to make those tough calls, has made good calls and also calls he's needed to learn from, and is ready to make tough choices as governor.
So just to be clear, you've changed your mind on it a bit, but where do you stand? Like, if it came up for a vote today, let's say you were the governor and they were talking about pension, how would you vote on it?
Oh, exactly? I would vote against not only the bill that we've talked about that was passed in 2013, but I've voted against a series of pension changes since then, including ones pushed by Democrats, because, frankly, I'm committed to doing this the right way, the constitutional way, the fair way.
Okay.
And the Constitution is clear that we should not make unilateral changes to pension benefits. And there are other fair constitutional ways to do it that don't touch people's benefits. Mm-hmm. Ways like consolidating the 600 different fire and police pension funds across the state of Illinois. So we've got 600 different pension funds. You and I live in Evanston. They've got two pension funds there. And you live in LaGrange, I think. They've got two pension funds there. These are little tiny pension funds. They're inefficient. Their investment returns are low. They're really opportunities for corruption as politically connected consultants reach their hands into these pots of money and pull money out for themselves.
Wait, I have to look up the word corruption. Stay where you are. Hold on. I've not heard that word before.
Yeah, no, in Illinois?
Yeah, I'm confused by it.
So you could consolidate those pension funds and not touch anyone's benefit. There's nothing even remotely, controversial from a fairness standpoint or unconstitutional about it. And that's the right, fair way to do pension reform. That's what I believe in doing.
I have two. I don't know which way to go here. Somebody's texting, and I think it's a good question. What is your view, your stance on recreational marijuana?
So I support the legalization of recreational cannabis. I'm a co-sponsor of a bill in the Senate that would do it right now, that's Senate Bill 316. And here's my view. You hear a lot of different attitudes, a lot of different reasons, pro and con. To me, this comes down to racial justice. Mm-hmm. We just do not see our cannabis laws applied equally in majority white neighborhoods and majority black and brown neighborhoods, and that's not right. So it's time to legalize it.
What do you think of Jeannie Ives' television campaign?
I think it's horrifying. You know, I think it's really, really offensive. And I think it's over the line. And I just don't think there's room for that. And I'll tell you what, when that TV ad came out, I thought, hey, this is going to be a good opportunity for Democrats and Republicans to come together and condemn it. Hey, Bruce Rauner should condemn that ad because, gosh, he's running against her.
Yeah.
And yet he wasn't willing to do it. And I think that's just a sign of how broken our politics are now and how, in an effort to play to a far right base, Bruce Rauner isn't even willing to stand up for his own campaign and say the right thing and do the right thing. Mm.
Well, it's very nice to meet you. Didn't know much about you. I do now. He's Daniel Biss, Illinois Democratic candidate for governor. Again, I bring up my son, Michael, who just registered to vote. I said, this is interesting. Senator Joe Biden might be running for president. And he's like, my son said, he seems like a great guy and everything, but I don't know much about him. And so I give our young voters credit for finding out way more information than I ever did when I voted. So good luck to you. Hey, it was a pleasure to meet you.
It was great being on here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's Daniel Biss, everybody, running for governor. We'll take a quick break. Some news is next and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.